This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Ali Reza Jafarzadeh, who is the author of The Iran Threat, President Ahmadinejad and the Coming Nuclear Crisis. He's also the former spokesman for the Iranian Parliament in Exile, and he's the man that first told the West about Iran's growing nuclear ambitions. We want to get his thoughts on a number of subjects in the next few minutes, and Ali Reza, it's always great to be with you.
Always a pleasure.
But first of all, one of the things you are highlighting is that while the rest of the world has moved on from the mass demonstrations in the wake of the fraudulent elections in Iran earlier this summer, you have learned about just what kind of treatment those protesters received. What was commonplace? We know, obviously, there would be extreme examples in any situation, but what was commonplace for those protesters who were then confronted by the authorities?
Well, the commonplace of those who were arrested during the mass demonstrations in Iran in June and July was the excessive use of excessive force during the demonstrations, and after they were arrested, they were subject to tortures. And the worst kind was rape. A lot of these individuals, especially young girls, as well as young boys, were raped repeatedly by the Iranian regime's officials in the prisons. And this is not an isolated case. It's very widespread. It got so extensive that some of the senior officials of the regime itself made it public, including one of the candidates, Mehdi Karoubi, who made this public. It became an issue. And then after the issue became public, others came out and exposed that they were also subject to rape and torture. And I think this is very much telling of the kind of fear that Tehran has from the younger generation, from its own population, that it feels that the previous methods of torture are not working, and they're going to another extreme, which is the most horrifying thing, using rape.
In terms of the impact that the protests have had, what long-term impact do you think they've had, and what is the impact of the outside media being shut out and essentially moving on, since they weren't able to get access to those protests for the most part?
Well, the important thing is that for the whole world to understand that the protests have not gone away. To the contrary, people use every opportunity to express themselves. This past Friday, the what they call the Quds Day, which Tehran has celebrated for nearly 30 years, and it's meant as a day to strengthen, to support the regime. To the contrary, all the people use that day to express their opposition against the Iranian regime. And one of the slogans they chanted was that torture and rape would have no impact. And they said that the only solution is the overthrow of the Iranian regime. They chanted death to dictatorship, death to Khamenei, the supreme leader. And even though the media was kept away from the developments in Iran, yet the people have been using Twitter, Facebook, internet, small video clips that they take and send outside. It's almost impossible nowadays to shut out the world public opinion from understanding what's happening in Iran. And I think within this context, it's very important that the policies would be properly adjusted based on undeniable realities on the ground. Policymakers cannot say that we don't know what's going on the ground, and we don't have representations, we don't have embassies, and so on. Therefore, we cannot know the truth. That's no longer the case.
Let's move on to a couple other subjects here. Ali, first of all, it's time for the annual pilgrimage of President Ahmadinejad to the opening session of the UN General Assembly. This is always usually some sort of circus when he comes. What do you expect this year?
Well, I think this year, like previous years, we expect a big demonstration by the Iranian American community in the United States. However, I think this year is going to be bigger because it overlaps with a number of developments. First of all, it comes right after the extensive uprising in Iran and the fact that Ahmadinejad was fully delegitimized by the Iranian population. No one considers him as the true president of Iran, and they want to express themselves. This is the first opportunity they get to express themselves against Ahmadinejad. Second, it comes right after what Tehran managed to do 2 months ago in July in putting pressure on the Iraqi government and getting the Iraqi security forces to attack the main base of the Iranian opposition called Camp Ashraf in Iraq, that's home to about 3,500 members of the Iranian opposition. About 1,000 of them are women. And the on behalf of Tehran, the Iraqi security forces killed 11 people, injured over 500 people, and abducted 36 people. The Iranian Americans see this opportunity to express their anger on what Tehran has done in extending its leverage into Iraq, but also telling the world leaders during these demonstrations that it's not acceptable to continue to negotiate and have dialogue with this regime that has absolutely no legitimacy and also is responsible for the killing, torture, and murder of its people and its opposition figures both inside Iran and in Iraq.
Last question before we let you go, Ali Reza. Last week, President Obama announced that the United States would not go forward and continue with its construction of a long-range missile defense shield in Eastern Europe based in Poland and the Czech Republic. He says part of that decision is based on new intelligence showing that Iran is not engaged very actively in pursuing a long-range missile system. What do you make of that decision, and how emboldened are the Iranians as a result of it?
Well, there are two separate things. One are the facts on the ground, which is very contradictory to what some people have said. The fact is that Tehran is pursuing a very ambitious nuclear weapons program. Tehran is pursuing a very ambitious missile program. Their missiles already is reaching Europe. The advanced form of Shahab missiles already reaches at least the eastern part of Europe, and they're working on longer-range missiles. And the nuclear weapons program is so advanced that even some senior officials within the United States and the international agencies are conceding that very soon Tehran would be in the position of making the nuclear bomb. So that's one side of it. Second, the decision to end the missile shield program has actually emboldened Tehran. Both the Supreme Leader Khamenei and the Iran regime's President Ahmadinejad have welcomed this decision, have interpreted that as a sign of victory for Tehran, that the world really finally realized that Iran is not a threat, and that's why they did it. And Ahmadinejad has asked for the West to re-examine its policies regarding Iran and alter its behavior and approach regarding Iran, which is not the kind of signal you want to send to a regime that is killing its own people and is threatening the whole world.
Ali Reza, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Great pleasure.
Ali Reza Jafarzadeh joining us from Europe. He is the former spokesman for the Iranian Parliament in exile. He's the man who first warned the West about Iran's nuclear intentions, and he's the author of The Iran Threat. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.